توداي الصباحية. صباح الخير. 5 أشخاص خسروا حياتهم بجنوب لبنان yesterday. وسمهاو واشنطن توكس are still scheduled for next week. The political cracks inside the Shia bloc are showing, and the pharmacy in a mountain town has become one of the war's most haunting stories. Pour the coffee. It's a heavy one today. Airstrikes kill 5 in South Lebanon, a ceasefire holds in name only. Israeli airstrikes on South Lebanon killed at least 5 people Friday, 4 in the village of Toura near Tayr, and a Lebanese civil defense paramedic near Kafr Shouba, while 8 others were wounded, according to Lebanese Health Ministry and the National News Agency. The strikes came hours after Israel's Arabic-language military spokesperson issued evacuation warnings to residents of 6 villages in Tayr province. Hezbollah fired a salvo of rockets into northern Israel in the afternoon. The Israeli military said it intercepted one, while the rest landed in open areas with no casualties reported. President Joseph Aoun told a visiting EU delegation that European countries should pressure Israel to honor the ceasefire, while EU Commissioner Lahbib said both Hezbollah and Israel were taking Lebanon hostage. What to watch? Lebanon-Israel talks in Washington are expected next Thursday and Friday, with President Aoun having met the head of Lebanon's negotiating delegation the same day as the strikes. Washington talks loom as Lebanon's political fault lines shift. Political analyst El Sayed told MTV Lebanon that there is no internal division in Lebanon, with the overwhelming majority of Lebanese wanting negotiations and an end to the war. El Sayed stated that the Amal movement does not approve of Hezbollah's actions since the so-called support war began, a notable public acknowledgement of a rift within the traditionally allied Shia political blocs. Separately, President Aoun reaffirmed Lebanon's commitment to the ceasefire as a pathway to negotiations, signaling that Beirut's official position remains focused on diplomacy despite ongoing Israeli strikes. The backstory: Amal and Hezbollah have long operated as allied political partners in Lebanon's Shia political landscape, and public distance between the two, even on the support war framework Hezbollah launched in solidarity with Gaza, is unusual and closely watched by Lebanese political observers. Zooming out, with Washington talks days away, how unified Lebanon's political class appears at the table may shape the room's dynamics as much as any written proposal. Kaifun, the stories the rubble left behind. On April 8, Israeli strikes hit the town of Kaifun in the Mount Lebanon region, targeting a residential building whose ground floor housed a pharmacy that had been distributing medicine to displaced families since the 2024 war. Among those killed were Rana Naji, a displaced mother seeking milk for her 2 young daughters, journalist Suzanne Khalil, humanitarian worker Rana Maleb, and Dr. Nadim Shamsuddin, along with his wife and their 3 children. Sisters Nada and Aida Al-Abadiyya from Al-Abadiyya remain missing to this day, their fate pending DNA testing results after arriving in Kaifun only to secure medication. Civil defense rescuer Hussein recalled recovering the body of an infant from the rubble. This infant paid for his life without any fault of his own. He was not even given the chance to begin his life. The bigger picture, the Kaifun massacre, a strike on a civilian pharmacy in a mountain town, has become a deeply documented account of civilian loss, preserved through the testimonies of survivors, neighbors, and rescue workers. Moving on to quick hits, 56,000 hectares and counting. Lebanon's agriculture ministry reports that 56,264 hectares of farmland have been affected by Israeli attacks, with 18,559 hectares suffering direct damage, nearly 1.85 million livestock killed, and 77.9% of southern farmers still displaced from their villages. Hayal al-Salam, the unbearable toll. Around 99 people were killed in the April 8 strikes on Hayal al-Salam, where 3 missiles brought down 3 four-story buildings simultaneously. Entire families were wiped out, including 7 members of the El Ayouni family alone. Beirut's Corniche before and after. In a separate April 8 strike, the attack on Corniche al-Mazra destroyed a 70-year-old 29 apartment building, left one resident estimating losses of $300,000, and scattered human remains as far as Salim Salam Bridge. 8 raids hit Beirut in just 5 minutes. Customs getting a European makeover. Finance Minister Yassine Jaber met EU representatives to discuss reforming Lebanon's customs system, with the European side confirming readiness for comprehensive technical support, and implementation contracts are expected to be signed in the coming months. Amnesty law at a crossroads. Lebanon's parliament is under mounting pressure to pass a general amnesty law, with critics warning that selective exclusions, particularly affecting long-detained Sunni Islamic prisoners, could violate Article 7 of the Constitution's equality guarantee. In international news, world food prices hit 3-year high as Hormuz crisis drives up vegetable oils. The FAO food price index rose for a 3rd consecutive month in April to average 130.7 points, the highest since February 2023, with the index up 1.6% from March's revised level, driven largely by the Iran war and effective closure of the Strait of Hormuz. The FAO's vegetable oil price index surged 5.9% month over month to its highest since July 2022, as elevated energy costs increased demand for biofuels. Meat prices hit a record high, while sugar dropped 4.7% on ample supply forecasts. Cereal prices rose a modest
increased 1.8% from March, with adequate supplies from previous seasons providing some buffer, though reduced 2026 wheat plantings are expected as farmers shift to less fertilizer-intensive crops amid surging input costs. The bigger picture, the FAO's April reading still sits well below the March 2022 peak of 160.2 points reached after Russia's invasion of Ukraine, but three consecutive months of increases signal that the Hormuz disruption is feeding through into global grocery bills. UAE-Saudi Arabia ref deepens as UAE exits OPEC after 60 years. The UAE departed the Saudi-led OPEC oil cartel this month after more than 60 years of membership, vowing to pump significantly more barrels per day, a move analysts say could sit the short free fuel price war between two Gulf neighbors already at loggerheads across multiple theaters. The two countries are backing opposing sides in Sudan's civil war, with Saudi Arabia reportedly lobbying Washington to penalize the UAE for supporting the Rapid Support Forces paramilitary. They also backed competing factions in Libya and Yemen before the Iran war reshaped regional priorities. The UAE normalized relations with Israel in 2020, breaking with Saudi Arabia's longstanding position that Arab states should withhold normalization until a Palestinian state is established along pre-1967 borders, a divergence that has widened sharply since the Gaza and Iran conflicts began. What to watch? Analysts say how the UAE-Saudi competition plays out in energy markets, Sudan, and their respective U.S. partnerships will in large part define the shape of the broader Middle East for years to come. Pakistan families feel the pinch as Gulf remittances flow under Iran war pressure. Pakistan recorded a record $38.3 billion in remittances in fiscal year 25, with Saudi Arabia and the UAE together contributing more than half. But delays and salary cuts linked to the Iran war are now rippling back to millions of Pakistani households dependent on those transfers. The UAE alone accounts for 20% of all Pakistan remittances, according to economic analyst Hordam Hussain, who warned that a sudden slowdown from that single source would create significant pressure on Pakistan's foreign exchange reserves and the families of migrant workers. Pakistani workers in Gulf countries are disproportionately concentrated in low and semi-skilled roles, making them particularly vulnerable to layoffs during economic downturns, with immigration lawyers reporting a growing shift towards Malaysia and Belarus as alternative work destinations. Zooming out, Pakistan's situation is a visible example of how the Hormuz crisis extends far beyond the immediate conflict zone, translating into delayed school fees, borrowed money, and fractured family routines across South Asia. And now, Khair Haq, besides that, Lebanon opens in Vez. The 61st Venice Art Biennale runs May 9th to November 22nd, 2026, and Lebanon's pavilion features Nabil Nahas's installation, Don't Get Me Wrong, a multi-layered visual environment exploring form, pattern, and natural structures, presented by the Lebanese Visual Arts Association under the patronage of the Ministry of Culture and commissioned by Neda Khandour. 17-year-old first place, Lebanese racing driver Christopher Al-Fakhali, born in 2009, won first place in the Euro Cup 3 Championships opening round at the Paul Ricard Circuit in France, prompting President Joseph Aoun to personally congratulate him for raising Lebanon's name high in international sports forums. Kakafra lights a candle. Thousands of faithful flocked to the mountain village of Kakafra on May 8th to celebrate the birthday of Saint Charbel Makhlouf, born there in 1828. This year's divine liturgy was celebrated for peace in Lebanon and the world at the personal request of Pope Leo XIV. F1 listens to its drivers. Formula One, the FIA, teams, and engine manufacturers agreed to fast-track engine regulation changes for 2027, shifting the power split from 50-50 to roughly 60-40 in favor of the combustion engine, a direct response to widespread driver frustration, including Max Verstappen's threat to reconsider his future in the sport. Thanks for reading. Go make it a good Saturday. That's today's Sabahi. Share it with a friend.